Welcome to Real Talk Wrestling. I'm your host, Josh Kimmel from Twitter, of course, Josh Kimmel OUS. Not verified anymore. Zero verifications. I decided to take that off my... the check mark was tarnishing my name, so I had to take it off.
The streak is over. It's done.
It is over. You change your profile picture, and then if you stop paying for it, they take it down. Anyway, with me, my buddy RTW Chris on Twitter, Chris Koffler. What is going on, man? What a busy week of wrestling. Like,
yeah,
busy.
There's a lot going on this week, especially in the world of AEW.
Yeah, you had the debut show of AEW Collision. We had Dynamite this week, of course, last night, and now we have Forbidden Door coming up. It's like AEW owns the entire wrestling world right now, and it's honestly on fire, except for last night's show. Last night's show was not good. It was not good.
It was mediocre at best.
It was
it was fairly entertaining, but there was no real important, like, nothing super memorable. Let me put it that way.
Would you say nothing super memorable, or would you say, like, it just sucked?
Nothing super memorable. Let me put it that way.
Are you sure? Because I think
sucked. It wasn't their worst show. Like, I've seen worse ones, and I wasn't struggling to watch the show like we are sometimes lately. But it wasn't great.
So let me give you a little bit about, and we're not going to go too hard about how bad this show sucks. I get it. I understand what they were doing. I understand, you know, a lot of people get on to the other company, WWE, and to AEW. When they have a pay-per-view coming up, and such a large pay-per-view, they seem to take the week before the show off. And AEW is guilty of this. And the other company is as well. It's like, you have your stories written. You have everything done. What else is there to tell? So let's throw a bunch of random crappy matches together that nobody cares about. And that's kind of what we got last night with Dynamite. Was it cool to see all these Japan guys? Sure. The New Japan guys are cool. I like to see fresh faces. But do I want to see Grandpa Guy? No. Do I care about Zach?
I knew you were going to be upset about that.
Well, here's the thing. I recorded my other podcast, my fantasy show, and it's on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And I'm okay with that usually, because I usually just hit pause and then rewind and start from, so I can go through all the commercials. I always have it on, though. I always have it on so I can see it. I had no reason to pause nor rewind. I didn't even, the first match, don't care. Second match, don't care. I didn't care until MJF and Adam Cole came out. That was it. The first hour of the show was unwatchable. Unwatchable. The Hardys, yeah. Hardy Party.
It wasn't great.
Hardy Party, no interest. Grandpa Guy, no interest. Other than that,
the second half was fine. I did like seeing the guns, though.
The guns are okay. Well, they're okay. They're okay. I like the
they're
guns.
They're okay. I like them. I've liked them for a while now.
I like the Ass Boys, too. Did they officially get are they officially Bullet Club Gold? Because they were with Jay White and Juice Boy. They should be. They need to be. Nope. That would elevate them.
Yeah, I think they're working towards that. I think they're going to do more than a two-week thing. They're kind of building towards that, it seems like.
It does seem like that. But let's not bury the lead. We're all here to talk one thing and one thing only. That is the debut. Well, not only. We're going to talk more. But the debut episode of Collision. I feel like the perfect song for that was Elton John. There was no other song they could have put there with the whole Saturday night thing. That was great. But the show itself, I want to warn people, you will not get this weekly. This is Rampage 2.0. This is going to happen. I promise you guys, this is going to be a point where it's not going to be live every single Saturday night, and it's going to feel like a tape show sometimes. This was an off. Remember when Rampage came out and CM Punk and everyone was going nuts and it was awesome? Slowly died down. I can see that happening here. But for this show, for the show that they put on, it was pretty good. It was a 7 out of 10. No disagreement, no nothing, Chris.
Yeah, I thought the opening show was good. I knew that the opening show was definitely going to be better than the rest of the shows. It is going to be like that first Rampage, but I'm hoping, and maybe this is just the optimist in me, that like the optimistic person in me, that this is going to eventually be closer to a Dynamite every week than a Rampage. I don't know. I know they're not going to sustain this high level, but I'm excited for it. I think it'll be good overall. I don't think it's going to fall off quite to the degree that Rampage has.
You would hope not. They didn't even reach 1 million viewers the first night. You would think that with CM Punk, he thinks he's some draw. Tony Khan thinks he's... Maybe Tony Khan doesn't think he's a draw. Only 800-something thousand, just like Dynamite did. It's not nothing special. The opening promo. Let's talk about it. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the opening promo. I didn't think they were going to let CM Punk do anything opening the show, but I think they had to. I think they felt like they had to let him come out, talk, get everything off his chest, take some quick cheap shots that were approved by management, so everyone knew about those lines. I'm not buying what he's selling. I didn't care that he was back. I didn't think it was special. I didn't like the digs that he took. I think they were cheap. I think that unoriginal. And I didn't, and I'm just going to be honest with you guys, all of you guys, I didn't watch the main event. I had no interest. I had zero interest. A meaningless six-man tag, trios match, as you would say, with no stakes. I had no interest in watching him wrestle. I didn't care if he looked good or not. And the other guys, like, I want to see Jay White and I want to see Juice Box, but I really don't care about anyone else, FTR included.
Yeah.
You know my stance on that, Chris. You know.
Yeah, I know where you're at on that. So I kind of thought the same thing. I didn't really care for the promo too much. It just seemed petty. But I guess he needed to get in his jabs because he's been off TV. Not to say that. I'm pretty sure didn't the Elite do the same? They put some jabs in there or something. But
during a match. Kenny Omega bit someone during a match.
Yeah.
It made fun of
him. But like at this point, like, let's just move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to move on. I didn't really like the promo too much. It's whatever. It's done now. It's over.
It's not done.
Luckily, we can move on. As far you, what do you think? He's going to come out every week and keep cutting promos against the Elite every single week?
I do
you
think know, this. Like, look. Here's
and what, he's going to get booed. I feel like he's going to get completely booed everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're going to be out of Chicago,
I think so too. I agree with you 100% on that. But here's why I think it's not over. There is a reason why he said everything he said. This is not over. This is going to lead to a match eventually. It has to. I truly believe that they will have a program, whether it be, you know, next year. It doesn't matter. But they're planting seeds. You don't, you know, Tony Khan's smart. He wouldn't, it's long-term booking as well. You would think, just like you said, okay, 9 months away, this is all blown over, no reason to bring it back up. Why are we bringing back old stuff, right? Well, the reason why we're bringing back old stuff is to start another program with the Bucks, with the Elite. Hopefully FTR and CM Punk can work with the Bucks and Kenny, and hopefully those three can work with CM Punk, Phil and FTR. That's the idea. That's the goal. That's what we want. Everyone wants it. That's the, honestly, there's not many more feuds anymore, because there was with Sami Zayn and Roman and Cody and Roman. Those feuds were huge. This match mm-hmm. right here would be the biggest match in 2023. There'd be no match bigger. Not one match bigger. Think about it. 2023 WrestleMania. You're talking Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. This one's bigger than that. You're talking Roman Reigns, Cody. This one's bigger. Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn. I don't know if it's bigger. Hold on. I don't know if it's bigger because I don't think it is. But it's on par. Now, could it be bigger as in because it's real life bleeding into their program? Yeah, people are going to be interested. It's going to, you know, here's why it's bigger, Chris. God damn it. I keep on contradicting myself. It's going to bring, hold on. Let me bring it back. Let me reel it back in here. Cause you know, I'm all over the place. It's going to bring those casual viewers that don't watch back in. Whereas the people in WWE, nobody was going, I got to watch Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns. You're the biggest Sami Zayn mark known to man. Cause you think you look like him. We kind of do.
Cause I do.
But you didn't fucking watch it weekly, did you?
No, not weekly.
No,
because there's too much bad stuff to cut through to get to that stuff.
Now
I could catch the clips I wanted to on Twitter.
Now you see Phil and you see the Elite in that whole real life altercation, and then you bring it on television. That's gonna bring people who don't normally watch and go, let me see what's happening over here, because that's interesting. You don't get many opportunities like that when, like the Matt Hardy and Edge. You know, that was real. You know, Lita did all these terrible things. All three terrible. But they had a program together, and they worked together. I was at one of the Raws where Matt Hardy side effect Edge through the goddamn announce table, or the electrical, and everything went on fire. It was crazy. I was right there. Now, they worked together. Think about that. Another man took another man's girlfriend at the time, or whatever it may be, and they still worked a program together. So you're telling me these fucking three men or six men can't work together? Come on. It's ridiculous.
I think Kenny Omega can do it. I think FTR can do it. I don't know.
I know Phil can do it.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I know he could do it.
He's my biggest question mark. Like, Kenny, I don't know him as well as you do because you watch.
I don't know him anywhere. I don't know this guy at all. But
no, but I mean, but you watched a lot of him. Listen, I didn't watch him live up until he returned to AEW. Before that, because I didn't watch when he was in WWE. I knew who he was. I could keep up with it online, but I wasn't watching week in and week out then. So I feel like you would have a better sense of who he is. But for either side, the Young Bucks, I don't know. Can they work with him? Maybe. Can he work with them though? That's my biggest question mark. I do agree with you. If they could pull that off and actually work together, especially if you could have a Phil Kenny Omega one-on-one main event, that I think would be a huge draw. I'd be super intrigued by that.
I don't think that's the draw. I think the draw is the trios match. I think FTR has to be involved, and I think the Elite have to be involved. And I think that's the draw. One-on-one's not going to draw. It's just not. It's not. But hold on.
But the only thing is FTR wasn't involved in that whole altercation, though. That's why it's.
But they were because afterwards Dax went on a stupid little podcast.
Yeah.
And he said his stupid little things. You think that was for real? You think he was trying to get something going on with that comment? Come on, man. They're in the wrestling business. They work all the time. They know what they're doing. I'm not saying this is all a work. What I am saying, though, is and let me say this. I'm on the Elite side. If I have to choose a side, I'm with the Elite. And what I mean by that is if I have to go 10 years without CM Punk or 10 years without seeing the Elite, I'm choosing without CM Punk. I'd rather just have the Elite here. But I'm not ignorant to the fact that I do know from watching Being the Elite, from following them, that they are petty. They are soft. They do cause problems. They are not perfect. They do chat. They do talk a lot of shit. They take a lot of shots on their BTE show. A lot of shots. You know, a lot of cheap shots, a lot of under the breath stuff. They do that. So I can see CM Punk's side. I really can. And he's not the first one that ever came out against them. FTR has as well. Multiple people have. Hell, even Frankie Kazarian, one of the originals. Where's he at? He's gone. He left. He got out of his contract. Why? Because he said this in an interview. He saw the way the company was going. He saw what was happening with management. He saw how AEW was treating their talent. And if you're in the click or you're out of the click, he was in the click. He still decided to leave. No. And I'm not saying anything bad about the Bucks, but you can't turn a blind eye to their politics as well and their pettiness as well.
I'm sure that they're just as guilty too. That's what I said. That's why I don't know if they would be able to get over it to have the match. Because then who wins that match? If you're booking that, who wins it?
Here's why they couldn't do it. Here's why they couldn't do it. Because they shouldn't win. Phil should win. He should. If you're looking at the whole grand scheme of your company and AEW in the future, they should lay down. But Phil shouldn't get the win. It should be either Dax or Cash. They should be able to win, pinning probably Nick or Matt. It doesn't matter who. Would that hurt a lot of people? Probably. But the thing is he's the bigger star. People would want to root against the heel because they'd be in the heel in that situation. I always think heels should win every feud. That's just me. I don't like when babyface wins. I really don't. Like, it sucks. It's boring. But you're right. Who does win? Because you got these guys like, we're the fucking EVPs. And you got Phil going, well, I am the draw. Like, I am the guy who fills the seats, which he doesn't.
I feel like it would be, what was it, Shawn Michaels and... Who was it back in the day where they could never agree on who was going to lose to who?
Bret Hart?
Yeah, yeah, there you go. It was Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. And they just, both sides were petty, and they neither one wanted to give up the pin to the other guy. I could see this being another situation if it ever got to that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to continue watching Collision. I don't know if I could watch it weekly live. That's going to be hard. That's hard to ask people, right? Like, we have lives. We have things we're going to do. Saturday night's very difficult to watch wrestling. It's a very, very, especially when football season's come around. You think I'm going to watch LSU in Alabama or Collision? Like, what do you think I'm going to watch? Like, this is ridiculous.
It's always, wrestling's always going to become secondary to football, unfortunately, for the general viewing audience.
It's just a fact. It's just to everyone, because you know why?
Yep.
You could always DVR wrestling and watch it later. You can't DVR football and watch it later because it's not the same. I've tried it. It's not
the same.
Not even close.
Not even close.
So more things on Collision, because I don't want to just talk about that promo. We had the return of Miro, which I think was kind of botched. And there was the return of Andrade, which the new commentary team kind of botched. They could not get this guy's name right. Andre El Tiger. Andrade Idolo. I was like, what the fuck, Kevin Kelly? Can't figure it out?
It was so bad. Like, as soon as I would be getting into the show, then they would start talking, and it would immediately kind of, like, take me out of the show a little bit. I'm like, they're so bad.
So you hate the new commentary team?
Yes, absolutely. The worst.
So it's not the worst.
Absolutely.
It's not the worst. You don't watch Raw. Kevin Patrick's the worst commentator of all time. But by far, there's no one that's been better or worse than Kevin Patrick. All I dare you, Chris, watch Raw. Just watch Raw and listen to Kevin Patrick. He always sounds like he's out of breath, gasping for breath. And Kevin Owens. And he's out there. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Where's Kevin Kelly? I don't mind Kevin Kelly. I don't mind him. The way he speaks, he doesn't yell at you like an Excalibur would. He's not like giving you the hardcore, like, and his body's slamming him. He's talking. It's kind of weird for a wrestling show. It's kind of weird. Because even Michael Cole will give his more like a more vocal.
Michael Cole. I always feel like Michael Cole's going to pop a blood vessel whenever he's doing his commentary.
I like Michael Cole. I don't know. People hate him. But Kevin Kelly's more mellow, more chill. Like, he's fine. I don't hate him as much as you do because you don't watch Raw. Kevin Patrick's by far the worst. But the other guy, Nigel, he's awesome. He's phenomenal. I don't think they were gelling. It's their first ever show.
They weren't gelling at all and getting the names wrong constantly. And getting, there was a couple other things that they got wrong that I was like, it was bad because normally those things can happen and I won't notice them. But I was picking up, I feel like, on a lot of stuff that they were saying wrong. And it was bugging me.
I'm going to give
them time. I felt like they brought in commentators that didn't really know wrestling, like that was their first time watching wrestling or something, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it felt like.
Nigel was fine. Kevin Kelly for me is going to be difficult to get into because of his demeanor. I think we got to give him time, and plus you got to think, we're so used to Taz and Excalibur and Tony Schiavone, and they, even though they are also bad, they're just as bad. Don't get it twisted. They're very bad. They're just funny because
they're not just as bad as what happened.
Oh no, Tony Schiavone is just as bad, or worse than any of those people on Saturday night. Tony Schiavone adds zero to the show. All he is there for is for Taz to make fun of him, and then for Tony to take cheap shots back at Taz, and for Taz to go, "But I digress." That's all Tony Schiavone's there for. Excalibur. That dude just screams at us the entire time, screaming out matches nonstop. And then Taz is just there to have fun. They're just as bad. I'm sorry, Chris. But can we talk about how bad JR was and who the fuck's idea was it to put him on the television show after hearing his fucking voice?
That was awful. That was really hard to listen to.
Who did that? Who's like, this is, hey, JR, you can't talk and your eye is fucked up. Go out there and work.
Yeah. Like, who signed off on that? That was a terrible idea. I've never heard him sound so bad. It seems like they pulled him pretty quick, though, when they realized, like, this is not going well.
And it's not on JR. It's not his fault. He's just doing his job. He's doing his best. Good for him for even showing up. It's just, you kind of have
to still do his job, but someone's got to check that at the door and say, nope, we need to pivot here real quick and go in a different direction.
Didn't even sound like him. I mean,
no.
I didn't know he got pulled. I honestly, I'm not kidding, guys. I watched about 3 minutes of this match and I turned it off. And that's just because I was zero interest. Who could possibly win this match? Is it going to be the returning good guy in his city, or is it going to be the heels? Come on. It's one of those matches where you just don't need to watch. Nothing special. But that the commentary team, we got to give it time. That's all I'm going to tell you. I think they're going to be good. I think they'll be
tweaks. I hope they are.
You just need that edge. You need that heel commentator, and I don't feel like anyone was. And I feel like they were just all happy to be there. Like, oh, yeah, we have jobs. Yay.
I'll give them another chance, but yeah, they need a little bit better dynamic, and they need to practice reading all the names.
Practice.
They need some practice reading those names before they go back out there this week. Like, understand who's on the show.
Yes, yes, yes. So one more thing on Collision, then we'll move on to Forbidden Door and AEW Dynamite that just happened. We had a new TNT champion crowned, which I predicted on this television, on this podcast, not television show. I told you guys Wardlow will be dropping this title. And I said this title will automatically be the second most important men's title because Christian Cage is involved. And that has happened. That has happened. We don't have four indie fed fucks grabbing a title, trying to pull it away from each other. That was so bad.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
So we don't have that. We don't have that with the TNT title. We have a legitimate heel, a legitimate superstar that thinks that he won the TNT title, and Luchasaurus is just sitting there like being a monster. And I think the way that you're saying that this has, that you think it's going to be dropped, there is a story to this, Chris.
No. I don't say that I necessarily think that it's going to be dropped. It's just that as of last week, I did not feel like it was the second most important title because
it is now.
Because every time it changes hands, it disappears for 2 to 3 weeks, and then it pops back up in some random match. And at most, someone gets like one title defense with it, successful title defense, and then they drop it again. New champ disappears for a few weeks. If they keep them on the show weekly, or at least 3 out of 4 weeks moving forward, and let them have at least a handful of title defenses, then I would agree with you that it's the second most important title. It definitely has the potential to be. It's definitely got something better going for it right now. But it's kind of like, show me that it's actually going to stick around. Like, I don't want to see Luchasaurus disappear until we go see the show in Tampa in a month from now.
It's not going to happen.
Or 2 months from now.
It's not going to happen. Chris, this is setting up This is setting up for a perfect turn that's going to take a long time. Christian, literally every single time when Luchasaurus defends that title and Christian grabs the title and celebrates, it's going to eat at Luchasaurus. It's going to eat at him because he's the champion. But every time, I guarantee this is going to happen. We saw it the first night. The first night, the title was won. Christian grabbed that title, fucking just ran up the ramp and started celebrating without Luchasaurus.
Yep.
That's going to eat at Luchasaurus eventually. That is the story.
Good. As long as they keep it going. That's all that I ask. Keep it going. Don't disappear and pop up.
Already more story than the international championship has had in the past 4 months. Already. Yeah. Already more story in that title. So it's already better title. It's already the better title.
Let's see. Is it going to show up Saturday night?
Yeah.
They're going to be there?
Well, they're not going to do it Saturday and Wednesday. No, it's not going to be all the time. Chill out. It's going to be, they're going to have their time. Christian's old. He wants to chill.
Are we going to see it again in the month of June?
Yes. We'll see it on We'll see it on Dynamite. We might see it on Collision. We might. I don't know.
Okay. I just want to see it again in the month of June. That's all I ask.
Before we get on to the blind tournament, because I don't want to lead. We're 24 minutes in. The headliner of the podcast is Forbidden Door. And we haven't talked one thing about Forbidden Door. So let's get into it. Just a little bit of breakdown of the matches, because I know we're both going to watch it. We had a showdown for the International Championship. We had Orange Cassidy, Daniel Garcia. We had Ciabatta Bread. And we had...
oh, man.
Right? His name is Ciabatta. And the only thing in Ciabatta in my life is bread. So
Ciabatta Bread.
And who the fuck was this other guy? Who else was in this match that I didn't care about?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's the thing about the International Championship. We don't care. Nobody cares. Daniel Garcia... Ciabatta Bread, Orange Cassidy, Zack Sabre Jr. That was the match. And that's the fatal. Is that not the match? No, because Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah.
You got it pulled open right there?
No, I freaking memorized it because when I was watching that match last night, I'm like, damn, I heard all these great things about Zack Sabre Jr. He was really good in the Forbidden Door, but that's the last time I saw him. He looks like a creative wrestler. He looks like a creative wrestler that doesn't work out. That's what he looks like. He just looks like a regular guy in underwear with a terrible haircut.
So do you think at all that title changes at Forbidden Door?
I do. I think it's done.
You do? You think it's finally the time?
I think it's the time. It has to be. Who is it?
Is it Daniel Garcia?
I would love it for me, Daniel Garcia. That'd be awesome. And it'd be a good way to get it off Orange Cassidy again without him being pinned. He can pin Zack Sabre Jr. He could pin Ciabatta Bread. He could pin Orange Cassidy for all I care. I prefer him to pin Orange Cassidy. I prefer that. That'd be honestly the best case scenario. I want Daniel Garcia to win this title. I was watching this tag team match thinking Daniel Garcia would be so much better if he was in the BCC right now in that program. Yeah. He would be tougher, better, more engaging, more television time. What the fuck were they thinking?
And it felt like his character was growing to be a part of their stable, and it would have been so much better. I did not understand why they had him turn back and go back to Jericho's group.
It's awful.
It was largely irrelevant now. That whole group is just irrelevant.
The momentum that Daniel Garcia had going into that whole program with the BCC and everything, it just died as soon as he went back with Jericho. He became a no-name loser.
Yep.
He went from top, could have been top star, one of the top stars, to loser. I can't believe it. I really can't believe how they've botched this guy. This guy is a star. This guy is a professional wrestler. This guy should be in the main event, not at the like upper tier main event card, like an LA Knight, someone that's building up momentum, getting to that top scene, where now, like I said, loser. He should have been in that Fatal 4-Way match with MJF. He should be the one of these. He should be over Darby Allin. He should be over Jungle Bitch. He should be over Sammy Guevara. He really should be, but he's not, because for some reason they put him back as a loser. It pisses me off.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. They should have pulled the trigger and had him switch teams.
Or anything, just say, fuck it, I'm not doing anything. I'm on my own. And then have him be just a great wrestler instead of this thing.
Being Jericho's sidekick or
it's not working
or whatever. It was terrible.
It's not working, man. But that match is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Daniel Garcia win. At the very end of the show, we had a Bryan Danielson and Okada stare down. I felt like that was super rushed, but also super cool at the end. I think that was obviously the best moment of the show last night on Dynamite. Yeah. I am really looking forward to this match. I think this is a match. I just don't want everyone to overhype it and then it just be a letdown. But I don't think it's possible. Bryan Danielson doesn't let anyone down.
No. Nobody. He has complete bangers.
Yes. And I think this alone is worth the $59.99 or whatever it may be that you're going to spend on this pay-per-view. If you buy it.
$49.99?
I don't know what it is. You're not going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. I'm not a pirate. I'm going to buy this. I'm not a Buccaneer. I should have said that. I am going to buy this, and I'm going to be enjoying this match. Who the fuck goes over? It has to be Okada, right?
I don't know. Because, see, I don't know who they picked to go over in any of these matches, really.
If you watched last year, it was all AEW. I was about to say,
because I didn't get to watch last year. I don't remember what was going on, but I did not get to watch last year.
It was all AEW last year. It was pretty much all AEW.
Yeah, they dominated pretty much.
Yeah, dominated.
Well, then New Japan needs to get some wins then this year.
I hope they let some people win. I really do. I mean, but you got to think about it. Look at it. MJF's not going to lose.
No, I don't think he would lose his match.
But I like the way they incorporated these tag matches, like the Sting and Darby match, which we're going to talk about right now, and their mystery partner versus the other group. Who's their mystery partner going to be? Could it be someone from New Japan? There's rumors going that it's Goldberg.
I hope not. Goldberg?
There's rumors. Rumors going around.
No.
Goldberg. Sting.
Can't be Goldberg.
Sting, Goldberg, Darby, Jericho. Who the fuck are Jericho's teammates? I just literally don't care. I don't care about this.
That match I really don't care about.
I know. I don't care about it either. And then the biggest one, second biggest one, Kenny Omega, which is honestly already set the main event of the show. That's already been announced. Yeah. That's the main event. Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay for the championship. I think it's the IGP United States Championship. And Don Callis has given his security team to Will Ospreay. Do we... I don't know. That was the toughest thing of all time. Do we see a surprise at the end? Do we see someone come out and help Kenny Omega? Because there's a reason why they put it at the end. Not because... You got to think, Okada Bryan should be the main event, but they're putting this match at the end for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know who, but yeah, I could see someone coming out or there being some big surprise at the end. Because it does feel like they're setting that up right now.
I think that we're going to get a Kenny Omega loss. And I think that it's going to be a cheap loss, obviously. I don't think he's going to win that title. And then at the end, his best friend, Ibushi. Am I saying that wrong, guys? I know the fucking name. Kota Ibushi. Ibushi? I can't even say American names, guys. I believe he's going to come out and make the save.
Yeah.
He has to. At this point, he has to. Has to.
Yeah, because they kept alluding to the fact that Kenny was going to go get him or something, right?
Yeah. And then Eddie Kingston came out. I'm like, is that the guy he fucking went? Some guy? I love Eddie Kingston's promo at the end of Dynamite, though. How he hates the Bucks. He's just there because Claudio... That whole thing was phenomenal. More Eddie Kingston, goddammit. More.
Yes. Eddie Kingston is always a good thing.
I'm sitting there watching Dynamite. It's 9:55, and they're like, still to come, Eddie Kingston speaks, and Brian calls out Okada. I'm like, it's 5 minutes left. How the fuck can this happen? Were you watching the same thing?
No, I remember I didn't get to watch at the tail end of last night. I only got to watch little bits and pieces up until today.
Yeah, it was like... coming up next. I'm like, coming up next. How? And like they rushed everything. Kingston was on the mic. Then all of a sudden the BCC came out. Then boom, Okada came out. So it was a great ending to a terrible show. Terrible
show. Yeah, it had to have been rushed because I was watching a little bit of the TBS title match. That was like one of the last things I saw before I finally went to bed. And I was just like, I'm like, this is kind of at an odd time slot. It didn't start at 9:30. It started a little later, and I was confused. I'm like, what other match is there tonight? Like, what's going to go at the end here? Because they don't normally close with, you know, interviews or promos or whatever. They normally close with a match, and then everyone running out. But so that was a little bit different last night, the way they did it. Yeah. Really wrapped up the show.
I'm in it, man. I think it's a good build to – everyone's saying it's not. There's no build. There's no build to anything. There's build. It's just you got to watch the show to see the build. And Forbidden Door isn't about a build. Forbidden Door is a celebration of two awesome companies coming together, putting on a fucking awesome show.
Yeah.
Imagine being the biggest boy on the playground and you don't want to play with anyone else. How lonely can you be? You know, and that's how I feel about the other company. But these two companies, I think it's a great, great thing for professional wrestling, and more companies should do it. That's the main reason why I'm buying this show. To support it, to enjoy it, and just enjoy wrestling. Not everything has to be serious. Let's just have awesome 20-minute matches and move on and build your stories afterwards, you know? And stories can come out of this.
Absolutely. Who knows? Maybe a few years down the road, maybe we'll get to see an even bigger Forbidden Door pay-per-view.
Well, if we have WWE going to Warner Universal, USA Network, or not USA Network, TNT, which is rumored, they probably will. Probably will have to. Vince will have no say.
No.
The people who bought it will have a say. And then we'll have some awesome matches there. I wish one day.
Yeah, because then you would never really have to talk about dream matches that never end up happening anymore. We could get to see all of them. Think of all the matches we missed out on in the 90s because the two companies didn't want to interact.
Do you have time for one of my dream scenarios? One of my...
I got time, man. All right. I got nothing but time. Let's think about this.
Forbidden Door down the road, like 3 years from now. Maybe. Let's just say it happened now. WWE versus AEW. What's the biggest match you would book? What is the biggest match you would book and how would it finish? Because I have mine.
Let's hear yours. I don't know. You've put a lot of thought into this.
So here's what we do. You have one side, the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, MJF. And then on the other side, you got Mr. Whoa, Cody Rhodes, the guy who could not win the AEW title because he lost a match to Jericho. And he said, as long as he's there, he could not challenge for the AEW championship. As long as he is there, he's no longer there. Now it's pupil versus mentor, best friends. Cody Rhodes versus MJF. Cody Rhodes wins that title. Cody Rhodes is the AEW champion, and he brings that shit over to the WWE, and he's bragging about it. He's like, I conquered, yada, 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 yada. Only to set up a rematch at one of their pay-per-views down the road, all in, all out, whatever it may be, to get more fucking eyes on AEW. Why can't we work together? I understand they're competitors, but isn't that the coolest fucking like moment ever? Cody winning the title that he could never win. But it's a title that nobody cares about. Whatever. Fuck that. He built that company. He wanted that title. He just knew putting it on himself would make him the biggest heel in the company because people are like, you're just Jeff Jarrett and TNA. They turned on him anyway. So just fucking give him the title. That would be the coolest moment if that could ever happen. I would love that because imagine the promos between MJF and Cody and having Cody win. What a shock. That shit doesn't happen. Like, we expect Tanahashi's not winning this fucking title. Nobody's winning. No titles are changing. New Japan's not walking away with any fucking title.
I don't see any New Japan guy walking away with the AEW title.
No, it's not going to happen. But you know what could happen is Cody could walk away with it if it ever happened, which it will never happen. But Cody could. Because Cody helped build that company, and that'd be a great fucking story. That's all I gotta say.
That would be that's the biggest match. Wild there. Yeah. Oh, that would be huge. You can't top that right there because of the story that's there.
You can't put Roman versus that's secondary. That is a long term story of Cody could never win the title, but now he can.
Now he can. That's now it. He qualifies because he's not there anymore.
That's it, guys. Tony, if you're listening, Paul, you don't run the show, but Vince, if you're listening. Paul, Triple H doesn't do shit. He doesn't run shit. He doesn't even run his own household. All right. Last thing before we go, can they coexist, Chris? Can they coexist?
We're about to find out.
They announced this blind tag team championship tournament. I didn't know what the rules were. I thought like blind. What the fuck does this mean?
I thought maybe you would have known because I heard rumor that it was something that was kind of recycled from WCW. So I thought maybe you would have a little bit of insight on it.
When I went in,
it was called something else though. I don't remember what WCW called it.
When they announced it, I just like, oh, what the fuck is a blind tag team? Whatever. I don't care. So once they did the whole thing last night with RJ City and fucking Tony Schiavone, I'm like, what are they doing? Right. I'm like, oh, they're picking teams to fight each other. Oh, the Ass Boys. That's what I thought it was. But no, it's two people.
It's just all the names in there and people are going to randomly tag with each other.
So now we have a super team. So how do they not win the tag team titles? That's all I want to know. How do they not? Because
they can't coexist. That's going to be their problem.
Here's a question every week. Can they coexist? So we have Adam Cole, who by the way, Tony Schiavone, who the fuck are you to stand up in the middle of the damn show and go, guys, I have an announcement. Bitch, it's a blind tag team. We weren't supposed to know.
And like, why was he told to announce it then? Because he already knew the first two names earlier in the show. And then like, he's waiting till they're in the middle of a promo and like, oh yeah, remembered. You guys are on a team.
Excalibur, Taz, like, why'd you say it? And Tony Schiavone's like, I wasn't supposed to, but I couldn't hold it in. That's what he said. Like, that's your explanation. Stupid. That's your explanation. You know what would have been a better fucking explanation or a better way to reveal this? I don't know. How about you do it like some surprise way where you do it after the fact and you get a reaction? Or instead of Tony Schiavone just standing up and going, guys, I got to let you guys know something. I got a big fucking mouth and I can't keep a secret. Oh, Tony's in my ear telling me stop saying stuff? You guys are the fucking champ or the tag team title, whatever. What was that, Tony? I wasn't supposed to say that. Sorry, I couldn't keep it in.
Just couldn't do it.
Like, what the fuck was that?
All right. So maybe you didn't like the execution of the first tag team, but what do you think about the idea in general? Because here's what I thought was, we've been talking about, oh, you know, we need some new tag teams. We need some new tag teams. This is a way to throw some people together and see kind of who gels. Who does the audience like? This just gives them a way to not even really have to build a story, I guess. The story is you're just being randomly by a lottery placed together, and then we can figure out who gels from there, and then we have some new teams moving forward.
So I think it's
people that maybe is otherwise lost.
I think this is a good idea to get people on television, to get them doing something. To, and this came out, I guarantee it. This came out of the idea of Jungle Bitch and Hook tagging together. Are they tagging? Yeah, that's a random ass tag team. That's random. Yeah. So Tony Khan's probably like, wow, these people are really liking Jungle Bitch and Hook. I bet you, what if we did more random crazy stuff? All right, let's do it. Like, that had to be the idea.
That was it. That's the inspiration for the whole tournament. Jungle Hook.
It had to be the idea. So what are the, what other teams are you looking forward to that you think that could be a mismatch that they do? I have an idea.
It's completely, you know, I will say one thing though, real quick on this before you give me some teams. I could tell that the Twitter world did not understand this concept at all.
Twitter's full of morons.
Because everyone, like whenever I was looking at some of the comments, I don't know if it was from AEW or, you know, some of the bigger Twitter wrestling pages or whatever, but like people are like, oh, well, you know, FTR better be in there. The Ass Boys better be in this tournament. Like they were naming like tag teams that are already put together. They better be in the tournament. I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. Did you not understand that it was a random drawing and it was two random people put together that are not already a team?
Yes. They're good.
So that like that completely went over everybody's head.
I think there's going to be some more mismatches because, you know, it's funny to see like the mismatches, but I do think there's going to be some good teams that come out of this, like two baby faces that you wouldn't see, but you're going to see more heels and baby faces working together. Possibly. I could see them working on a deal with like Wardlow, get him in this somehow. Like you need to get him some momentum. What does he do after winning this or losing this title again?
Disappears.
Or maybe he's in a tournament. Maybe you pair him up with another baby face that could help him get over or help give him that momentum again.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you take a swerve and you put them with another heel that can need some help. That would be good as well. You know, these guys who are just kind of out in the open, who don't really have a story or don't have any kind of direction, this would be a good use for them. I would like to see, I don't want to see anyone in a tag team already broken up. Like, I don't want to see Malachi Black teamed with Chuck Taylor. God damn, Tony, don't think about it. No, we don't need best friends in this at all. No friends. No. We don't want
friends. No friends.
We don't want any friends.
Unless
it's Trent. Trent could be okay. I'm okay with Trent being in this
tournament. You love Trent and you hate Chuck.
Chuck is the worst. Chuck is...
You hate him.
Evil Uno and Chuck. Put him on a team. Oh, that's a good idea. Evil Uno and Chuck. Put him on a team and just let him get destroyed by Adam Cole and MJF. Like, just fucking beat down. And they both take turns like, oh yeah, you're gonna do your salt of the earth, watch me, I'm gonna do my panel. Like, and they just beat the shit out. Like, they try to one up each other on beating the shit out of Chuck. That's what I want to see.
That's what you want. Let me ask you real quick side question. Rank from favorite to least favorite the members of Best Friends between Chuck, Trent, and Orange Cassidy. Favorite to least favorite.
Trent number one.
Of course,
he's my favorite.
Who comes in at two and who's at three?
This is so hard. It's Chris Statlander, number two. She's part of the best friends.
Okay.
All right. Three has to be fucking Orange Juice. And God, Chuck is just useless.
Chuck is at the bottom. Okay, Chuck, I had a feeling he would be the bottom guy.
For Chuck you. Is only good on BTE. And no. I would be friends with Chuck in real life. Like
I would life. Be but in the wrestling world, you hate him.
It's just he's not meant to be a wrestler. He never was, never has been. He shouldn't be a wrestler. He doesn't work well. There's nothing that he does well. Think about it. Like there's nothing that he does well. He's never done anything good. Don't bring back that. Oh, you missed that car match when they were in the
parking lot. You missed parking lot match. Have you watched it yet?
No. I would never watch anything out. Chuck Taylor's in, except for BTE. That's it. Because he's funny.
Missing BTE. Out.
No, I'm not missing out. Not.
I'm gonna start tagging you in that video until you just give up and watch it.
I'm never gonna watch it.
It's gonna change your whole life.
Can we see John Silver tag with Jeff Jarrett? I think that'd be awesome.
I would be so torn because I love John Silver and I hate Jeff Jarrett.
Exactly. And I love Jeff Jarrett. And I love Johnny Hungy. So did Jeff Jarrett win? I didn't watch that contestant match brawl. I just need to know if I'm going to see more Jeff Jarrett on this television show or not. Cause he says he's done after if he loses.
No, I'm pretty sure he lost. Good. Yeah. Cause it was what against the Briscoe brother. Yeah. There was no way he was losing.
I don't know.
So Jeff Jarrett, good. So he's gone.
That's
good.
What he said. He said in the promo, if I don't win this match, I'm not wrestling again in AEW. So maybe he'll just go to ROH.
So you didn't want to watch them squirt mustard on each other?
I did not watch that match. I had zero interest in that match at all. Zero. Less than zero. Hey, but we're running out of time, so we're going to get on out of here. Thank you for watching. If you're an audio listener, go ahead and go to our YouTube page and subscribe. And watch us live. Join the conversation. We had a few of you in here tonight, so thank you for those few of you joining us. And you didn't leave any comments, but hopefully you do next time. Join the conversation. We're just here to have fun, talk wrestling, and talk bad about Chuck Taylor and about how terrible he is and how he's probably eating cookies right now and eating Twizzlers. Fucking Chuck Taylor. Anyway, follow us on Twitter at Josh Kimmel OUS, at RTW Chris on Twitter. Chris, any last words before we go?
I'll just say after last night, I have a newfound respect for wrestlers who choose to blade after I almost cut my finger off last night.
Thank you.